Hey folks, Jared Sylvester here. Thank you so much for checking out this podcast from Repurposed.
Even early on, the why question was there, and I was very open to and attentive to God when this happened. I knew, I've seen from example from other people experiencing tragedies, but I knew God was doing something. Some people say, did he cause it?
Right.
I don't know whether he caused it or not. He certainly permitted it, obviously, clearly. And yet, I believe in what Romans 8:28 says, and God is able to make all things work together for the good, for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Not just our good, but ultimately his glory and turning us into a best version of ourselves, who Jesus really is.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sylvester of Tejas Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. If you want more information, just go to our website, tejasfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with Brad Hertig. Brad grew up in Ohio, enjoying what I think you and I would call a very typical Midwestern upbringing. He enjoyed hanging out with friends, his family, and playing sports, especially football. But when he was in high school, there was an accident, and this accident took both of his hands, in fact, much of his forearms as well. 3 months after this accident, he was back on the football field with a whole new appreciation towards challenges, including the challenge, if you're thirsty, you'll find a way. Here's my chat with Brad Hertig. Brad, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Absolutely, Jared. Thank you for having me.
Well, I've had a chance to hear you speak. You've got an incredible story. I'm excited to share your story here today. First, take people back. Where were you raised? You're raised in the Midwest, right?
That's right, yeah. Just a little village of Sherwood, Ohio, Northwest Ohio. I grew up with a mom and dad, three brothers. We had a really good family and have a twin brother named Chris. Dad was a factory worker. Mom was a stay-at-home mom and take care of us kids and just had a really good life.
You just kind of had the all-American upbringing playing sports with your brothers, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So athletics were a big part of our lives. I played football, basketball, baseball, you know, from the youngest age possible, as long as we could, as quickly as we could get involved in athletics, we were plugged in. Athletics were a big part of who we were. All the way up through high school, even entering high school as like a sophomore, as a starting middle linebacker on the varsity football team, and breaking the school record for tackles in a single season. And so athletics just in general was a big part of our lives and who we were and what we did, and love sports. I mean, it's a big part of life skills as well that you learn there.
I mean, you were like a stud too. You were all like all state. Was that right?
So I wasn't All-State until a life-changing accident actually happened. But, yeah, so before that, I just loved the team, broke the team's record, and I ended up coming back after a life-changing accident, coming back and playing, and then at that point did earn first-team All-State Ohio linebacker, which was a remarkable reward and honor to receive that.
Yeah, especially all things considered. You just mentioned this life-changing accident. I think that would probably fall under the understatement of the year. Talk about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, like we talked about, just a normal kid growing up, athletics were a big part of my life, and kind of outdoors, hands-on type of person. And we got a call from a good friend of ours. His dad owned a factory in town, and I was just amply asking us if we'd be interested in working at the factory that night. We had never done that, but we saw it as an opportunity to make some money. And yet the bigger challenge for us was that we would actually be working third shift that night. So we had to be up for 24 straight hours. You know, we didn't wake up that day anticipating that, planning for that. But we thought, you know, we're young, we're healthy, we're in good shape. We can handle this. And so we called our friend back, said, we're in. And we get home, we change our clothes that night. We head off to the factory that night. And it's myself, my twin, and my good friend, Keenan. We would be working what I would find out once we got there, an operating a 500-ton power press. And this is a huge, huge machine. It's basically, well, for us, what we were stamping was automotive parts. It was about the size of a piece of paper. It was a seat pan for a Honda CRT and just sheet metal pieces. So it would have to bend and form and put holes in this piece of metal. So it takes a lot of force, a lot of power to do that. And so we just had a simple, very simple operation set up where us three guys would step up to the press and we would move these pieces of metal down the stations. There's like four different stations. We'd have to hand transfer them. And we'd step back. My friend would reach over, have to push the buttons to the press. The press would then come down and stamp the metal and go back up. And so we had a really good process. Everything was working well throughout the night until about 2 o'clock in the morning. Us three guys would, we moved the piece of metal, we stepped back, and I noticed that one of them wasn't lined up right. One of the pieces of metal was crooked. And of course, I knew that if the press would run, it was going to ruin the part. And so I just very instinctively reached back in to adjust it, not knowing that my friend had already turned his back to the press. And down comes this 500-ton power press on top of my arms. And the first thing that I remember was not the physical pain or even a physical sensation. The first thing that I actually remember was hearing someone else scream at what they saw when they looked at me.
Did they see you with your hands in the press?
Yeah, so it came down and went right back up before I even knew it happened.
Oh.
And there was nothing left. I mean, there, some people, you know, think it was something attached, and anything that was inside the press when it came down, it was literally just obliterated and just a red mess that they saw.
The impact force, you said that you could literally feel this thing shaking the ground outside. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So I remember when we pulled up to the factory, we could actually feel the vibrations of just sitting in our cars. We could feel the vibrations of when the press would come up and down. And I knew even then, I didn't know we were operating at that point in time, but I was thinking, like, what is that thing inside that's doing this, causing this? And we walk in, we introduce the massive machine and told, hey, this is what we'll be operating tonight. And so, yeah, it just shakes the concrete floor, even the parking lot floor, like the asphalt there. You could actually feel it vibrating. It was just an immense amount of power and force being exerted. And you had this sense of awe when you walk up to the machine, like this sense of deep respect, and that even when we talked working the press that night, us guys, and I suppose maybe just being high school guys, but talking about what would happen if one of us got caught inside the press and how terrible that would be and how it would mess you up. And, little did we know that something would happen just a few short hours later.
Yes. So this comes down on your, on most of your arms. It goes
correct.
Back up.
Yeah,
you hear somebody scream. I mean, what in the first couple of seconds of this happening, what's going through your head?
In my head, I'm thinking, how did that happen? Like, why did that happen? I didn't remember being out of sync with the guys. It just came down and went back up. And I knew this is not good. How did that happen? I started to have this panicky feeling kind of start to come up within me. And I just knew this is not good. This is not good. I need help. And I just immediately left the press, actually took off running towards my boss. And before I got to him, though, I thought, you know, I have to see how bad this is. And that's when I looked down and see the damage, and it was terrible. The last half of my left hand was gone. The last three fingers were completely gone. Most of the palm was gone. The index finger was dangling down and hanging on by what maybe looked like, to me, it looked like my glove was actually what still, just a string was just barely keeping it attached, just a swinging, dangling down. And then my thumb was actually still intact. But unfortunately, that was the only finger out of all 10.
Whoa.
As I look over to my right, my arm is literally half gone. About 4 inches below the elbow is where my arm actually ends. And I just remember thinking, okay, I do not need to see that again. And I just knew it was bad. I got to get help. So I continued on towards my boss. And he's at this point here screaming and he starts running towards my way. And he's in shock of what he's looking at. I mean, he's literally grabbing me by the shoulders and shaking me saying, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah. I mean, wide eyed, never seen his eyes so big. And I'm like, no, like I didn't know what to say. Right. And he didn't know what to say either, but it was just this sense of being in shock for himself and myself. And but he quickly then leads me to his vehicle. We speed off to the hospital, And the hospital wasn't a long drive. It was just a couple minutes down the road. But in that, there was enough time for me to start to think. And I started to reflect on my life and how different it was going to be. And what am I going to do with my life? And I remember thinking about sports and how I'm never going to play sports again. Again, being a three-sport athlete and the starting middle linebacker. Like, how am I going to play football again? You know,
typical high schooler. They're just thinking about them not playing football. Isn't that something?
Exactly. I know. It seems so, like, shallow in some ways. But right. That's a big part of a high schooler student's life, for sure.
Right. So you spent some time in the hospital. They're not able to even recover what's left of your arms. And so now you're gripped with the thought of now living life with basically, you know, half of your arms missing.
Exactly. It's like, where do you even begin? I mean, I remember coming home and just kind of thinking, what is my life now? I can't really do anything for myself. And of course I had a very good family, mom and dad, like I said, three brothers, and all very supportive, very helpful. They were just there meeting the different needs in my life and really driving out the fear that I had. I didn't have to worry about how I'm going to take care of this need or that need. They were there supporting me, helping me. I mean, that was a huge part of this. But even for me, in a bigger way, just asking God, like, why? Like, yeah. Why did you let this happen? What am I supposed to do with my life now? I can't do anything. And so just kind of wrestling through some of that.
Did you hear in those moments when you were asking why? Did you hear an answer or sense an answer?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, fascinating enough, I did. I didn't hear an audible response, and some people do in some ways, but most people I talk to don't. And for me, it was an impression on my heart, and it really felt like, you know, Jesus spoke into that. This is something I kind of wrestled with, but I remember getting real specific to God and just saying, like, emotional with it, to the point where I said, God, like, why? Real direct. And in that, like, very fragile moment, I felt this peace on my heart. And it felt as though, I didn't hear it, but I felt as almost God was saying, Brad, I see you. You're not alone. I am with you. And from that moment, now he didn't answer all of my questions.
Right.
I had other questions. But he answered what I needed to know,
yeah.
That I was going to be okay, that he was with me.
Right. Huh.
And that was huge. And that brought a comfort. And I did not have the emotional struggles with this accident. And there was another time, was it because of pain? I was in tears. That was early on. The first time I was in tears was actually meeting my parents in the hospital.
Wow.
And I'm sure you can imagine that was an extremely difficult time.
Yeah.
But, and then this third time. And so after this moment, it just seemed like God brought a peace and a security and a comfort there that I was going to be okay. I didn't know all of what the future held. I didn't have all my answers, but I had what I needed to know. And,
yeah.
And that was a huge, just a foundational piece for me to go through this accident, this tragedy, and be okay.
So
and really, God's been good. So.
And you decide to go back out for football the following year. You have a bit of a different position now. You had some struggles that went with that reoccurrence, but you learned some lessons through your coach. Walk us through going back out for high school football.
Yeah. So wild enough, my football coach, he actually came to the hospital and initiated even then the idea of me coming back to play football. And I thought he was crazy. I mean, like, who goes to the hospital and says, hey, I'm looking for a football player that you look like, come on out, you know, like,
right.
This kid's missing his hand, like, who's he? And so he invites him, but everyone wants to be a part of a team and needs to be a part of something, and so having that inclusive feeling and was an amazing thing for me. And so he's like, you know, we don't know what this journey looks like, but we'll just come out, take it one step at a time and see what develops. And so I do. It takes some time to recover. The accident happened June 10th, and I get out there at the end of July.
Wow.
And so the team's already doing some, like, different they can't have official practices, but they're doing some teamwork and whatnot, kind of voluntary type stuff. But anyways, I go out there to one of these meetings, and it's my first day, of course, end of July, super hot, muggy. I get thirsty, and I go up to a trainer, and I would just say, hey, can I get a drink of water? Naturally, I couldn't pick a water bottle up. And so they did. They picked a water bottle up. They squared my mouth. Got a really good system worked out. Hmm. Well, then, at the end of practice, there's a water bottle sitting at my coach's seat. and I'm thirsty. And I simply pointed out to him, thinking he's going to pick it up just like the trainers had been doing. Well, instead, my coach looks at the water bottle. He looks up at me, and then he thinks for a moment. And then he says something that would ultimately change my life. He said, if you're thirsty enough, you will find a way. Hmm. And I was thinking, what? Like, you jerk? Like, you pick up the water. I don't have hands, right? That's my initial, like, feeling.
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking, oh, okay, I see what you're doing here. And so it kind of clicks, right?
Yeah.
And so I get down on my knees, I pick up the water bottle, like between my like forearm. I don't have anything much beyond the forearms of either of my arms. And so I kind of pick it up between my elbows, basically, and pull the cap and squeeze it and get a drink. And it's like the best water I've ever tasted. And I push the cap, toss it down his feet with a big grin, like, yeah, what's up now, coach? And so he has like this proud father smile on his face, like that a boy, you know. But it was a really precious moment for us, and really a challenge though for me. It was like a paradigm shift in realizing that, hey, you know, if I can do this one thing, you know, maybe there's other things in my life that I can do that I'm not even trying. And so it just began this process in which my coach would speak into saying, Brad, do something today that you couldn't do yesterday. You know, you got to learn something new today. And so I continue to challenge myself, look for new things, and better myself. And so I began a whole journey. My goal, I was a middle linebacker. That was the big goal, to be at the middle linebacker. But a different position my coach suggested I'd start out at is the kicker and become a kicker.
It makes sense, I guess, right?
Yeah. But, you know, have hands, but you got feet. Let's try them out.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know how much time we have to share all the story, but
ultimately, I mean, like you had some major failures as becoming a first time kicker, but how many times did it take you to finally make a field goal in a game?
It took, after three misses, I make my fourth attempt. So kicking was not my calling by any means.
Right. It's pretty funny though. When you tell the story, you say like everybody's welcoming Brad back on the field and there's cheers everywhere. And they had to go through the heartbreak of you missing three field goals before you finally made one, right?
Absolutely. It was, yeah. Heartbreak is a good word. I mean, everyone's just like, you can like hear and feel the air being sucked out of the stadium. Like when it's missed, because it's like, Oh, like every time I repeat, it's like, and then by the fourth time, the guys are like, are we sure we're going to do this again? You know, I finally make it. Everyone's going crazy. Big hugs for everyone going around. And that was a big moment as well. Cause again, we had these different steps along the way, like continue to step through, get better, do something today. And so I finally made that. And then long story short, I ended up coming back playing a little bit my junior year, my first year back. So it happened, you know, in June. I was playing that August and September, kicking, and then played a little bit my junior year, at the end of that year, as the middle linebacker, made some tackles, and then ultimately came back my senior year, regained the starting middle linebacker position, and ended up leading the team again with 111 tackles.
That's awesome. And
learning first team all Ohio.
That's awesome. And a lot of your coach, when you made the field goal, it wasn't like, we're going to develop you as a kicker. It's like, let's try something new. Okay. You had some adversity. You crossed a hurdle. Let's not get comfortable there. Mm-hmm. Let's keep pushing. And I think that's a great word to a lot of folks that are struggling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You also talk about God's provision in life. How have you seen provision, with you in this journey that you've had now for a number of years?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of different ways. You know, just through meeting the different people along the way, people are in my life that are solely connected because of the accident that I never would have met, never would have known. I feel blessed to have prosthetic hands now. So I do have these prosthetic devices that are used that are, you know, very lifelike in appearance. They all, of course, have all five fingers and there's veins and wrinkles in them and they move like a real hand. And so those are a huge blessing and having those devices. And I do break them often, unfortunately. I'm pretty, if I can say this, hands-on today. And so I'm still getting pretty involved in things, and I break them. And so we have to get them fixed often. But again, I feel thankful for them. And you know, just my family, my friends, just a lot of people that have been around me to really just bring the sense of, again, a type of security and a peace here that I didn't have prior to. And so, you know, it's just I feel very fortunate to have what I have, even in spite of this accident, right? To lose my hands, right? I never would have wished this on anyone. But at the same time, in a weird way, it's almost like a gift. Mm-hmm. Like God's used what was called a tragedy in so many ways is to be a message and a triumph that that can be used to encourage other people along their own journeys, their own adversities. But there's always hope. You know, we get so focused on what we don't have and what the hurdle in front of us. But there's always hope beyond that to enable us to see through that circumstance, see beyond it. And God has certainly used this adversity for something good.
Yeah.
And so I feel blessed to be a part of that journey that he's even doing something like that in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've had a number of people on the show that have had massive tragedies in their life, including, you know, cancer and, you know, losing limbs. And I have to go there, and you already touched on it. You know, how would you say that this accident has kind of weaved its way into your purpose? Do you feel that this was your ultimate purpose, or do you feel like your purpose is to be a light of hope and God's using this accident for that purpose? Or like, how do you get through the why? Essentially, that's what I'm getting at. How do you get through the why did this happen, and how does it tie into your purpose?
Yeah, that's a good question. So even early on, the why question was there. And I was very open and attentive to God when this happened immediately. You know, I grew up in the church. I've been a Christian following Jesus all my life. And I knew, I've seen from example from other people experiencing tragedies, but I knew God was doing something. Some people say, did he cause it?
Right.
I don't know whether he caused it or not. He certainly permitted it, obviously, clearly. And yet I believe in what Romans 8:28 says, and God is able to make all things work together for the good, for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And not just our good, but ultimately his glory and turning us into a best version of ourselves, who Jesus really is. And really, we will use the word sanctifying, you know, into who he is. And so I've seen him do that in my life with this tragedy, using it as something terrible and something good. So I was, you know, always asked, you know, the incentive to like, why God, why did you let this happen? What are you trying to do here? You know, is there something bigger here than me? And it seems like there has been, because now this is what I do. I travel the country sharing my story. Never in the world, in my biggest imagination, would I've ever imagined being a speaker sharing about anything on a stage. Yeah. I mean, I was terrified about being in front of people, just absolutely nervous. And not that dynamic of a person, you know, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I just felt like God has called the wrong person.
Yeah.
And yet I was kept getting asked, like, you know, Frank, will you share this story here, this group or this group? And I was like, you know, maybe I can. But I was like, and I wrestled with God because it was such an uncomfortable thing for me. But I always felt like he was calling me to do it. And so it was a personal struggle for me and you know, between me and God on that. But I always kind of sensed from early on with this accident that he was calling me into sharing the story, that he was trying to use it for something good to inspire and encourage other people in their own journey. Cause we all deal with adversity.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes it life a level playing field.
Yes.
Every single, it may not be external. It may not be visible. You may have something, you look normal, but you have something that's a type of a thorn or limitation in that it holds us back, emotional, mental, physical, whatever that is. And so, we all have these things to overcome and we need encouraged. We need inspired each and every day. And so I think I have the opportunity of playing a small part of that in people's lives, that God is using the story to encourage other people. And I feel blessed to be a part of that journey.
Yeah. That is awesome, Brad. I love your story and I just love your attitude towards using something like this. I think that we can all, take something away from that. You're right. We've all had adversity. And again, sharing that for God's glory, I think, is definitely the way to go. Before I let you go, tell people, where they can find more about you and your story and maybe where they can, catch one of your assemblies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So just my name, bradhertig.com. And to spell my last name, I always say you just simply got to spell the word hurt, as in I got hurt, and put an IG on the end. So it's bradhertig.com. And, yeah, my schedules are on there. I speak all across the country, primarily at schools. I do speak at churches and companies as well. And so I feel a great opportunity to speak at companies and share from a safety standpoint. But I do a lot of school assemblies as well. So, yeah, those are places to connect with me.
That's awesome. Brad, thanks so much for your time. All the best. God bless you.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Jared.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Brad Hertig. Like I said in the interview, I really appreciate it when people take challenges and adversity and use them for good. He is pretty much using this accident as a platform to raise and exemplify his purpose, which is to bring hope to others. And for us as believers, remember that foundational purpose in our life is to bring the hope of Jesus to the people in this world. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters totally free, just go to our website, tagesfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. Also, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of Repurposed. This media is only available because of listener support just like you. If you want to make a gift right now, you can go to the website, myfaithradio.com, and if you do that, we would appreciate that so much. Also, thanks in advance for sharing these podcasts with your friends online. It's an easy way to help spread the impact of Repurposed. And just one more thing, subscribe. You can find Repurposed on iTunes or your favorite podcast player.